Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 this morning. If you have your Bible, say amen. 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 I'm glad you brought your Bibles to church. Matthew chapter 5. We'll be right back there. Lord will, in the next few weeks. Don't matter where we turn, it's all good. Amen. It's all for us. I'm thankful we have a living Word of God. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your Word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now to just meet with us in a mighty way this morning. Lord, bind the devil off this place, Lord. Just take away any evil spirit that may be here trying to intervene. And Lord, I thank you so much for the songs the ladies just sang and that our family got to sing earlier in the congregation. Lord, I just hope that they were honoring and uplifting to you. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, just bind the devil off the reading and preaching of your word this morning. Lord, protect the minds and hearts of your people. Open their hearts and minds so that they may receive the engrafted word of God. This morning, I pray, God, you'll just cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow me to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3, we'll read down a few verses. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We preached that last week. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We preached there 2 weeks ago. Today we'll be in verse 5, but blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. This is Jesus speaking. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. And glad for what? Glad that men are persecuting and reviling you for doing right. You know, we often wonder, we have a misinterpretation of Jesus. Would everyone agree with that? The world out there thinks that Jesus is a God of acceptance. And he does accept whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. But he hates sin. See, you often wonder, well, what would Jesus do? You remember them bracelets that they used to give out, WWJD? How many wore one of them? A lot of us wore those. We wonder, what would Jesus do? Or what would Jesus actually say if he were here talking? Well, here we have one of the greatest sermons ever preached. And it was preached by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I wonder if your interpretation of what sin is, and your interpretation of how you ought to act, and your interpretation of how you ought to carry yourself as a believer lines up with what God's does. See, Jesus was different. Everybody okay with that? He didn't go conform to the image of the world so that he could fit in. He stood out everywhere he went. He was perfect. He was upright. He was holy. He was sinless. He never wreaked havoc. He wasn't ever trying to bash people anywhere he went. But he also was very much against sin. Amen? See, he died for that sin. But verse 13 says, here's Jesus speaking again, ye, talking to us, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for what, church? But to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men, underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before who, church? That they may see your good what? Works. We know faith without works is what? Dead faith. Not works for salvation, but works because of salvation. Don't ever think you're going to work your way there, but let me tell you something. If you are indeed saved by grace through faith, there are going to be works that follow. You can't help it. It's not up to you. The Holy Spirit's going to push you unto good works, that they may see your good works. And listen, don't misinterpret this. don't do it so that you're looking for them to see your good works. Amen? You're doing it all unto God. You want to be a quitter in the Christian life? Do it for people. Because they don't really care. Everybody okay? They really don't. Some may tell you thank you, but in reality, we're all flesh and blood. And our battle's not with flesh and blood. Amen? We're doing it out of respect and reverence to our God. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You say, what do you mean? I mean this. Every single time God gives you a job to do and you do it, you're doing your good works. You go back to the Father and say, God, thank you for giving me that opportunity. And just thank him and say, Lord, looking forward to the next one. Look, you do your good works and you're like, man, nobody appreciates me. How many would say you felt like that before? We all have. I have. We have. No one really cares, Brother Drew. You just don't understand. I'm trying to do right, and I mean, it's just like everywhere I go, at work, at home, at church, it's just like nobody sees what I'm doing. God sees what you're doing. God understands what you're doing. And the Bible says, great is thy reward in heaven. God, thank you for giving me that opportunity. Like Brother Walter said this morning, we had to wait for the young man this morning to get a shower. He was out there raking leaves, but he went inside, got him a shower, they waited. Hey, you know what? One young man rode the bus this morning. Is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. That's one more than rode it last week. God, thank you for allowing me to get up this morning and be on time and drive the van. And thank you for letting me be early enough that he had time to go take a shower and we could still get back to church. And pray for the young man. And start praying for that ministry. And asking God to give you opportunities. But this morning, I want to search and look at verse number 5. The Bible says, blessed are the who, church? The meek. For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. What does meek mean? It means quiet, gentle, and easily imposed on, submissive. If I stopped preaching right there and said, how many of you are meek? Some of you could probably raise your hand. I mean, I know from an outward appearance, I would label some of you as very meek people. And some of you might label me as that, and others might say, not so much. But here's the reality. What do others see in you? And really, when it boils down to it, what does Jesus see in you? Does Jesus see a meek and lowly individual that's willing and submissive with open arms to do anything that God asks them to do anywhere, anytime, any place? God, you call me, I'm available. Or does he see someone who's heady and high-minded and prideful and not so willing? Oh, I like Brother Walter said it this morning. You can pray that God will bless the church all you want. But I like how he said it because I didn't have to. If you don't get off your pew and do something about it, nothing's going to get done. I just second him. I second that, brother. Y'all all right? Yo, I'm just praying that God does the work. Well, then get up and do something about it. Look, faith without works is what? I have so much faith that God's going to bless that bus ministry, but I'm not going visiting. God didn't call me to do that. I beg to differ. I could spend hours up here proving you're wrong, but it ain't going to do any good for some of you. Some of you might say, you know what? You're right. God wants me to go. Go ye, therefore. Who's ye? Raise your hand if you're a believer. You ought to be going. I ain't going to tell you, ask you to raise your hand and say how many doors you knock on this week, or when's the last time you knocked on a door, or have you ever knocked on a door? Folks, listen, we got a job. I ain't telling you not to pray for the ministry, but what I'm saying is, what if everybody in here that just raised their hand and said, I'm a believer, came on Thursday night? You know how many doors we'd knock on? You know how many more people would be here on next Sunday than are here right now? All preacher, all you care about, no. I care about lost souls. And you should care about lost souls. Get to work. Are you meek? Are you gentle? Are you easily imposed on? Are you submissive? There's a story I found. This is not about me. I found this on the internet, but it says, when I was a boy, the Bible's promise about the meek inheriting the earth seemed silly. The way I saw it, the strong and bold have all the power. Anybody ever think like that when you were a boy? Turn the other cheek? In the world I knew, meekness wouldn't help you survive, much less succeed. Nice guys always finish last. The good die young. That was what the world was saying. The schoolyard bullies who tried to take my bike or my lunch money certainly weren't meek. So I began lifting weights in the garage, determined that no one would kick sand in my face. But as I grew over the years in my understanding of the Bible, I learned that real strength isn't on muscles or aggressive behavior. And all God's people said, amen. Real strength is spiritual. How strong are you spiritually? We have men everywhere that, they, you know, nobody's going to not call me a man. But look, what if we were to ask your wife and kids how your life is outside of here? Just how godly are you? Are you a Matthew 6:33 man? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Or are you a man that says, you know, preacher, you need to really mind your business and stop preaching that stuff. Hey, listen, that ain't happening. I'm about my Father's business. That's what Jesus said at age 12. Y'all okay? You know, if you're convicted, quit blaming everybody else. If God's convicting you, do something about it. You know, you ought to be seeking God in your home, men. Amen? You want to call yourself a man? How meek and lowly are you? Or you just put yourself up and say, you know what? All I do is work, 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 work. I do this, and this, and this, and this. If I get to come to church when I'm ready, when I want to be there, I'll be there. Hey, folks, what does thus saith the Lord? Fail not the assembling of yourselves. You know who he's talking to? Believers. Christians. I'm a man. I'm spiritual. How's your spirituality? Strength, it is an understanding that as children of God, made in his image and his likeness, we reflect the real power of God. God is omnipotent, all power, and all good. I wonder if when you walk in the room, do people see a reflection of God? Or do people see a reflection of the enemy? By the way, if we're not reflecting God, who are we reflecting? The devil. It's the devil. When we have thoughts of anything that's contrary to God's word and we spit them out of our mouths and we say things to bring other people down. Look, don't be mad at a family member or a person in your church who's more spiritual than you. It's real quiet right now. Look, there's far more spiritual preachers out there than Drew Barlow. I promise you that. But I'm not mad at them. You know what? I envy them. I want to be like them. I want to get to where they are. How am I going to do it? Getting mad that they tell me I'm a sinner? Y'all, come on and grow up a little bit. Who are you really in this thing for? Yourself? Or are you in this thing for God? The truth is, every single one of us in here could be more spiritual. It's the truth. It hurts. Preacher, I can't believe you said that. Hey, I'm included. Every single time I'm not preaching and I get to listen to preaching, whether it's online or sitting in a pew, the Lord just beats me up and lets me know just how low I really am. I'm nothing without Jesus Christ, and neither are you. Stop getting upset at your family because they want to do right. Get on board with them. Do right with them. Encourage them. Edify them. Strengthen them. Pray for them. Pray for those Sunday school teachers who are begging you to be here in Sunday school. Pray for those Sunday school teachers who are on you about not having your kids here in Sunday school. Hey, don't be mad at them because they're on you about getting them there. Get out of bed and get there. It ain't going to hurt you. It's Sunday morning. It's 10 a.m. Most of you are at work by 7. You're not going to sleep in and miss work. Why? Because you're getting paid. You know what? Maybe Jesus would pay you a little bit if you'd show up. Y'all all right? Is this too much? I mean, I'll stop if y'all want me to. Look, God expects so much more out of us than what we're willing to give him. The truth is, we're not very meek people. We're very self-centered people. Amen? We are. You know, I like it when you can call upon someone and it don't matter if they're busy or not. You know, this morning, I'm gonna pick on Brother Scott a little bit. He was getting ready to get in the shower and come to Sunday school. I called him up and said, "Hey, bro, we got a problem." "What is it?" I said, "We got a yellow jacket's nest on the front porch, and I'm scared of them." Y'all with me? I didn't say it like that, but it was the truth. Here's the reality. I knew Brother Scott had a bee suit and probably some kind of toxic poison that could kill anything. And he did, had both, by the way. My idea was the same as Brother Terry's idea. I was ready to wrap a rope around the thing and drive to Loango with it. I didn't care. I just didn't want the yellow jackets here. But see, he had a better idea. He stopped what he was doing. He saw a need. And look, I know you say it's just bees. Well, how many of y'all want to go mess with the yellow jackets? Your youngins could have dug their hand in that flower pot and got eat up. But you know what he did? He said, "Hey, I'll be late. I might be a little late for Sunday school, but I'll come take care of the bee problem." You know what I like? When men and women who are called upon make time for the ministry. Look, you say, "Brother Drew, that's not very spiritual." Well, I sure didn't take care of them bees. Nor was I ain't going to say I wasn't willing, but I certainly wasn't very willing. You understand what I'm saying? But God had a man, and he came, he took care of it. Hey, what about when God calls on you? Brother Walter preached it this morning. You know what we need right now? We need men or ladies who are willing to let Brother Tim take a copy of your driver's license and get on the insurance to drive the church van. We have one on there right now. That's it. We need people. What if Brother Walter can't be here? Who's going to go pick up the kids? Some of you are saying, "Not my problem." What if it was your babies? What if it was your family that couldn't be here? What if your car breaks one day and you have to say, "Pastor, could you maybe have Brother Walter stop by with the van and pick me up?" Y'all okay? Hey, I told you, we're looking for somebody that's willing to just, you don't have to do it every Sunday, but we need backup bus drivers. We need them. It's a need. You want to serve, that's a great place to serve. All you got to do is drive and don't kill kids. It's simple. Simple job, right? Just drive. Lord, have mercy. Elephants are powerful and yet are known as the gentle giants of the jungle. They have no natural enemies. Meek in their might, elephants lumber about and pose no threat in their fellow creatures. The Bible teaches that there is strength and comfort in meekness. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter number 8 this morning. Romans chapter number 8. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, how big you are, how much you think of yourself. Think about who Jesus was. I don't think any of us have ever reached that standard. Amen? Yet he was so meek and so lowly as an individual. Romans 8 and verse 31, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us," what does the Bible say? "Who can be against us?" You say, "What does this have to do with anything?" You don't understand, preacher. If I start living a meek and lowly life, what are people going to think about me? Who cares? Listen, when you die, and let me just let you in on a little secret. You're going to die, or you're going to get raptured out of here, or you're going to get left behind, and you're going to go to hell. Y'all all right? In the Bible. That ain't Drewology. That's the Bible. King James Bible. Read it. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to die, and when you die, you're not going to sit at the judgment seat, and God's not going to call down a jury. Y'all all right? But God, I want to answer to my friends. I don't want to answer to you, God. I want you to bring down all my friends that I tried to please on earth, all my teachers, all my coaches, all my deacons and deacons' wives that led me on. And Lord, I tried to live a life pleasing them. And God looks and says, "You sure didn't do a very good job pleasing me." You know, here's the reality right now. If God be for us, who can be against us? People might say things, but let them talk. Let me let you in on another secret. They're going to say things. Y'all all right? But look, how spiritual are you? Are you just going to get offended and, "You don't know what they said about me, preacher"? Nope, I don't. And 9 times out of 10, you don't even know what they said about you. You heard from somebody else. Y'all okay? But in reality, why is what they're doing affecting you so much? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible contains plenty of examples of meekness. Daniel faced down the fear with love for God in a den of lions. You remember that? Imagine being that. Now, you might say, well, preacher, that ain't hard. Okay, you be in the palace there under that Nebuchadnezzar, and he tells you, look, if you don't stop praying. Now, see, he'd already been through a test before. You know what I'm talking about? Bow or, you know, they'll Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said bow or what? Burn. You know, they didn't bend, they didn't bow, they didn't burn either. Y'all all right? Because why? If God be for us, who can be against us? And they said, Daniel, look, all this praying to this God you're talking about, you do it in the morning, you do it at night, you do it at noon, you got to stop. Or we're going to throw you into a den full of hungry lions. Daniel said, throw me in. You don't think God can shut the mouth of a lion? See us. You say, that's not a big deal. All right, you go sit and look at a bunch of hungry, ugly cats that ain't eating days, and they rip you up and bloody you up. And you know, a lion smells blood. He's coming, right? Hey, how many of y'all would want to go in there? Not a single one of us would volunteer for that. I ain't even messing with some yellow jackets on the front porch. Most less a den of lions. Make fun of me. I don't care. Thank you, Brother Scott, for saving me. Look, none of us would volunteer to go into a den of lions. But Daniel did. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace and yet still experienced God's protection? King David wrote, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Psalms 27:1, Jesus demonstrated God's power in spectacular ways, healing sin, sickness, and death. At his word, storms subsided. You remember that story? When Jesus was asleep in a boat? Most of us in our storms, we don't hardly sleep at all, do we? It's hard for us sometimes. We get something on our mind. How many find yourselves having problems sleeping at night when you're going through a storm? I ain't talking about no tornado either. I'm talking about a life storm where you ain't in control no more. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's hard to go to sleep, and when you do wake up, you don't want to get out of bed because your mind is consumed with just what is going on around you. Jesus slept. And I'm like, Lord, don't you care anything about what's going on? And he stood up. Peace be still. And even the winds and seas obeyed him. His storms subsided. Food became plentiful. You know that story, 5 loaves and how many small fishes? 2. And how many men ate? 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children were there. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I guarantee you there were some somewhere. 5,000 men. Plus, his disciples had 12 baskets left over at the end of the day. That's who Jesus is. The dead were raised. Yet this most powerful of men was so meek. Jesus never harmed anyone. You know how often, I don't know about you, but I like to think of it like this. And I'm not trying to blaspheme here, but I don't even like to say this really, but if I were God, there's a lot of things that I see down here every day that I just probably wouldn't tolerate very long. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But see, that's the difference in us and God. He's meek. He's lowly. He's called the sinners unto salvation. He's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we are just like off with their head. Be gone. You know what I'm talking about? Aren't you glad that we're not God? Think about how much patience and long-suffering God had with you before you came to salvation. And think about how much long-suffering God has had with you since your salvation day. How often you probably should not have been here anymore. I could tell you countless times where I probably shouldn't have made it out alive. But I did. Only by the grace of God. I wonder if God were to put a meekness meter on us this morning, where would we fall? 0? Or would our meekness meter be overflowing? Because because we care about souls and we care about people and we really don't focus on ourselves. You know, but here's the reality this morning. If your meekness meter's empty, you know, through prayer and getting busy and learning to not worry about yourself, that meter could come up and up and up and up. And pretty soon you could be overflowing with joy and gladness. Meekness can also be described as humble, gentle, patient, forgiving, and contented. It's not a state of submission or pacification, but rather an active support of what's known to be right. Meek people don't try to make things happen themselves because they have a reverential fear of God and don't want to offend Him. You remember Abraham? I mean, that man made the Bible, but he wasn't a very meek dude. God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. A couple chapters later, he's having a discussion with his wife. Well, you're too old to have a baby. I mean, I don't know exactly what he said. And she said, you know, Abraham, you're right. Won't you take my handmaiden? Now, how many know that wasn't God's plan? Y'all all right? And here's the weird thing. God's plan still came about. You know what I'm saying? So he went into sin to make God. How many know if God has a plan, he don't need your help? He just needs your obedience. Y'all okay? He just needs your obedience. Meek people, they wait for God's plan to develop in their lives. Patience. Meekness tames the temper. It subdues the self. It calms the passions and brings order out of chaos in the soul. Meekness calms, it soothes, and subdues. Meekness allows us not to get out of control, but remain in the Spirit regardless of difficulty of opposition. Folks, listen. People are going to oppose you. And most of the time, it's not because they're really against what you're doing. It's because really in their heart, they want to be where you are spiritually. But they're not willing to take the steps that you have taken to get there. And you, on the other hand, don't get discouraged with those individuals. Pray for them. Ask the Lord, God, what could you possibly be trying to show me out of the constant opposition from my family, from my friends, from my coworkers, everywhere I go? Why do you take things so serious? Folks, I've lived the last 15 years of my life trying to answer that question to people. Some of my dearest loved ones. I'm talking about real close relatives. Real close. Won't even speak to me. Because I take God's word too serious. But let me tell you something. I love them. I pray for them. I don't talk bad about them. And I would do anything in the world for them. But I'm not going to enable them. And I certainly am not going to compromise my relationship with God because some flesh and bones disagree with me. Y'all okay? Folks, listen. Stop worrying about everybody else around you. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. Can I say this morning that our Savior Jesus Christ was and still is a very meek Savior? Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest under your souls. The piano player is going to come this morning. We're going to read a couple more verses. A meek spirit is worth a great price to the Lord. You say, what do you mean? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. We should never speak evil of any man, but treat all men with meekness. In Titus 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. You say, preacher, it's hard. The piano's going to start playing this morning. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around, this altar's open. Preacher, you don't understand. It's hard to deal with the people around me. My spirit just gets out of control so often. I don't know what to do. Can I say this morning, this altar is a very good place for you to start. You say, preacher, I don't want to be a prideful human being. I want to be a meek and a lowly Christian. Would you just raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me.